This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome to Girls on Porn. I'm Rachel.
I'm Laura. And we love porn.
This is our porn review podcast.
We talk about what we love and roast what we hate.
Helping you find hot, ethical, just plain better porn for your spank bank.
And we're looking at everything. Today's topic is very exciting and one that we have wanted to cover for a good long while. Today, we're going to talk about financial domination, and we are joined by a very special guest. Mistress Marley is a pro dominatrix at NYC specializing in financial domination. She believes in Black femme supremacy and runs an organization called Black Dom Sorority for Black and Afro-Latina women. She also throws sex parties for adults in these communities. Welcome, Mistress Marley. Thank you so much for joining us.
Hello, hello, hello. Thank you so much for having me.
So exciting. We're obviously fans of your work. So we're excited to have you on the show and teach us all about FinDom and our listeners.
Oh, it's going to be some good stuff.
Yeah, I'm ready to have my mind blown and opened and sort of like blow the doors off my mind is what I feel like is about to happen in this episode. Can we start by just sort of investigating your entry into sex work and into this world? Like, what sort of inspired you, and did you originally start in FinDomming, or was it kind of a process where you sort of ended up there?
So I want to say, like, I started off in sex work when I was like 19 years old.
Wow.
I started off more so stripping at the strip club in college.
Mm-hmm.
So me and one of my girlfriends was just bored one night, and we were like, let's go try out at the strip club. Like, we might get it, we might not. That's the type of friendships we build with people. I was like, we might get it, we might not. And then we went. We were so nervous, and we got hired. And I think we worked there for like 3 months, you know, just like to make money or whatever. And then eventually we got into the sugar baby world. So we started that together also. So this is like an amazing girlfriend I had. Like, we were just willing to just go full force into doing these things.
Incredibly supportive.
Yeah. So like, we started off being sugar babies, but we did it together. So like, both of us would date one guy. We just felt safer that way, like going on a date together. Yay. And then eventually I moved to New York, for grad school, 'cause I moved from North Carolina. That's where I'm originally from.
Okay.
And eventually I moved to New York for grad school. And that's when I realized, oh, shit, I have to start sugaring on my own now because my friend's not here with me. And then that's when I really, really got into, like, being a sugar baby. Then I just worked odd jobs. I was a hostess at a swingers club. Like, it was just, like, sex work just, it was just always around me. And then at the swingers club, I met an older woman that worked there. She was, like, the coat check lady. And we used to just, like, talk or whatever on our breaks. And she was telling me she used to be a dominatrix. And I think I had heard about, like, domination and BDSM from 50 Shades of Grey, but when I watch 50 Shades of Grey, I'm like, there's no way this is like, it just didn't seem appealing there.
Right.
So I was like, I know that there are women out here doing the opposite. So like, I just did online research and I like learned, and then I stumbled upon FinDom Twitter, which is a whole world.
A whole universe,
Yeah.
And I started out doing FinDom because I was like, okay, I can still be mean. I can still be a bitch. I can still make money without having to meet anyone in person yet, because I was still nervous like about doing that.
Right.
And then eventually, after getting my online practice, I moved into meeting clients in person and whooping ass in person. And I've been there ever since.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Wow, that's an incredible journey.
Yeah. I mean, you really know like the facets of sex work.
Yeah.
You know? It's incredible.
Yeah.
How long ago, if you don't mind me asking, was it that you started stripping? Like, how long have you been in this career?
That was, well, I'm 26 now, so I started stripping when I was 19.
Wow. Okay.
So yeah. about a good 7 years or so. But I've always, like, I've done other jobs too. So, like, my whole life hasn't been sex work. Like, I'm more so now more open with my sex work, and it is, like, my main job. But I used to work corporate America because I worked in, like, fashion buying. So, like, I know the corporate world, and then I know the sex work world. And then when I was working corporate, I used to do my sex work. Like, I used to use the computer to, like, email clients at work or whatever. And
I love it.
Yeah, so, like, it always kind of just went hand in hand. And then one day I just woke up and I was like, I don't want to work for anyone anymore. And I'm just going to continue doing what I'm doing. So,
yeah, I remember you. So I followed your Instagram for a long time. And I remember you posting about, like, leaving your corporate job officially and, like, what a satisfying feeling. I mean, like, if we have to work for somebody, it's kind of amazing to carve out space to work for yourself.
Right, right.
Yeah. Yeah.
One of the cool things about sex work, you know?
Yeah. what do you feel like is the... like the most fascinating thing you've learned in recent years in FinDom, like either psychologically about your clients or about yourself, like what's been surprising to you about working in this field?
There are so many different kinks out there that people have. Yeah. There's shit I read now. And like, you can't tell me years ago, I would have been like, no, I'm blocking this person. Like, what the fuck? But now it's just like, it gets to the point where like, I'm just like, oh, I'm so used to this now, like hearing about the craziest shit. And right. I learn something new all the time. Like there's kinks sometimes that clients will come to me about and I have to Google it because I've never done it before. And then after I Google it, I'm like, oh, I would definitely do that. So like it's so many different things of just learning every day.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
The internet is an incredible resource.
Yeah, it is.
I guess we should define FinDom for our listeners who aren't familiar.
Sure. Good call.
Just because, you know, it's not something that we've talked about on the show, but it's something that, you know, I think everyone would probably be really interested in learning more about. And correct me if anything I say sounds incorrect, okay. Mr. Smartling, because the internet is an incredible resource, but it's not always true.
No, it's not.
So according to Wikipedia, FinDom is a psychological kink and a sexual fetish, in particular, a practice of dominance and submission, where a submissive money slave, fin sum, pay pig, human ATM, or cash piggy, as they are sometimes called, will give gifts and money to a financial dominant, a money mistress, fin dom, money dom, or cash master.
Yes.
Cash master sounds magical, doesn't it?
So cash master is more so used, like there are men that do financial domination too.
I see.
So cash master is what we call them. So most of the women, we don't call ourselves cash master. We just call ourselves fin doms. Princesses, brats, like whatever.
Right.
Yeah.
Damn, that's a bummer because I was really ready to be a cash master.
Me too.
You can still be a cash master. You can still be whatever the hell you want to be in this career. But yeah.
Yeah. It just sounded like everything I want to aspire to be able to say about myself. I'm far from, I'm still paying student debt, so I really admire.
Yeah. Like, I know.
How you've built all this and pulled it off.
I'm like, my mind is blown.
Yeah.
Also, that there can be no further intimacy than just like a cash transaction that happens online. Right?
Yes.
Like,
yeah, yes. That's one of the amazing things about FinDomming, I think, is it can't, like, I know sometimes it's not, and there are sometimes more like sex acts transactionally exchanged, but that there is a possibility of it literally just being about money tributes and exclusively that, which is amazing.
Yeah. Well, see, my opinion on that, like, if there is a sexual interaction in, you know, FinDom, then it's not FinDom anymore at that point.
Oh, okay.
Majority of fin subs know, and in the FinDom community know, that there's no sexual aspect. It's only psychological and humiliation. Yeah. So, like, once it gets into any type of sexual interaction for the exchange of, like, currency, that's when it turns into, like, escorting or, like, other things like that. But, yeah, for the most part, most fin subs know that, like, no, you're not going to get any sex. You probably won't never even see a body part of mine.
Right. That's crazy. Yeah. And would you say that, like, it's mostly just, like, cam sessions?
So, like, honestly, majority of FinDom is, like, not even seeing the person's face, like, on camera, sending photos or anything. Like, I could have a sub come in my inbox now on Twitter and say, hey, goddess, I want to send you this amount of money. And then they'll send the money. That's it. They don't expect no cam show. They don't expect photos, videos, nothing like that.
Wow.
So that's why that's why so many women want to get into FemDom, because they know that, oh, I can do this. I don't have to show my face. I don't have to send pictures. I don't have to, you know, I don't have to show beyond what I choose to show on my page.
Right. And then on the flip side, would you say that there are like relationships with like specific clients that are more like that require more of you?
Yeah. So I've had clients where like we do like Skype sessions, like maybe once a week, or like even in FemDom, I have clients that want to physically meet me at the ATM, like to get the money out and stuff like that. So there are physical aspects, but I want to say like 60% of FemDomming is online, and another 40% you might meet someone in person.
And would you say, like, how would you say it's different than like being a sugar baby?
Well, see, it's different from being a sugar baby, because when you're a sugar baby, you really have to put energy in. So like,
it's really a relationship,
Yeah, it's pretty much a relationship. Like, you have to get dressed up. You have to go on these dates. Sometimes you have to pretend you like the person.
That's the hardest part.
You have to build up a relationship. You have to text and check in and good morning and hope you had a good week. Versus with FemDom, it's just like, you know why I'm using you for this purpose.
Right.
And that's it. Don't expect anything else from me. I could meet up with you for 5 minutes, walk away, and we're good. I don't have to hear from you anymore if I don't want to. So it's like, you know.
Here's a question. I think I would like weirdly struggle with humiliation. Like, do you find that that aspect of it is with the clients that specifically want the humiliation? Do you find that that's your only interaction with them, or do you sometimes role play the humiliation and then have like a friendlier interaction otherwise? Like, what is that look like with different clients?
So I have some clients where it's strictly just verbal humiliation. Like, I'm not going to talk to you like you're a human. Like, but it's like, it's consensual. Right. Like, we've all like consented
on that.
I never assume that like a sub is into verbal humiliation. I always ask. But so I have those clients where it's just strictly verbal humiliation. Then I have the clients where it's verbal humiliation in session, but outside of session, we still just talk, you know, regular, how you doing, how was your day, like stuff like that. So those are clients that I've had for a longer time.
I think what you're saying, and correct me if I'm mishearing, it sounds like some of your more meaningful client relationships have both. That like with those longer relationships, most often there's a little bit of a friendship or a friendliness, but then it's in session humiliation. Is that kind of what you were saying?
Yeah. So like they, like the subs that I have the long lasting relationships with, like they know their place when it's time to know their place.
That's crazy. I find it really fascinating that it's like a psychological kink. Like, it's like a mind fuck, you know?
Yeah, it truly is, because like they see it as like, think about it in this way. Like, you're handing your money initially to a stranger and you're getting nothing from it.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's, well, I guess in their sense, they get something from it. They get off from it. Yeah. But like, they don't get any photos or like videos or like sessions or anything like that. So it's just, it's interesting. It's really interesting. When I first came across that, I was like, there's no way that this is true. Like, there's no way.
Yeah.
There's no way it's real.
It sounds
imaginary.
Yeah.
But the more you talk about it and the more you break it down, it does make sense. Like, a lot of people, especially men, kind of, you know, define themselves by their wealth.
You know,
and like, and their power is their wealth. So like giving it away is giving away their power, and they get some sort of sexual release from it.
Yeah. Power and wealth can absolutely be synonymous. So, so handing it over really is handing over power. Right. It's just an interesting attaching currency to it, quite literally.
Yeah.
Right. It's like intimacy in capitalism.
Definitely. Like, I wonder, I don't think FemDomming would exist outside of a capital, like, actually that's a whole like theoretical conversation we could go down a rabbit hole about, but like, I don't think like a socialist society would breed a like desire for FemDomming, because there wouldn't be the same power currency dynamic, you know?
Yeah, and that's why it's so sexy to me, because I feel like it's like, I don't know, like, who, I don't know if it was a woman who invented FemDomming, but I'm going to assume, because it's brilliant,
100%.
And I think all women create brilliant things. So, it just is like, of course a woman, like, we took this and we're like, oh, you guys are going to define yourselves by your pockets? Okay.
It's also worth talking about, you have a Sexcademy on Patreon where you have like essentially built a platform to teach others about FemDomming and about sex work. How long ago did you launch that, and how much would you say of your work is dedicated to that like academy and also sort of consulting, I imagine, that comes along with that.
So I launched Sex Academy March 31st of this year. So it's only like 2 months old. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow.
So I was just randomly sitting around, and like the more I gained traction on my social media, the more I gained followers. I would get so many messages every day like, please teach me, please teach me. Like, you know, yeah. And it just got overwhelmed. I'm like, there's no way that I could, you know, teach everyone separately in my inbox. And at the same time, like my like time is valuable. So I'm how can I, you know, attach this or make this a thing where people can pay a monthly membership and I'll upload courses as if like you're in real school. Yeah. And so I did it that way. And the response has been like really great. Like I teach everything from sugaring to how to sell feet pictures to how to do FinDom to like basically anything you can think of, like basic BDSM and stuff like that. So it's a real good source for people that want to learn and, you know, maybe they... Because, of course, you can Google this stuff, but to have an actual sex worker teach you, like, you know, because Google doesn't teach you how to protect your identity through sex work. And Google doesn't teach you, like, how, like, when you meet up with someone, how exactly how you should move and what you should know about your surroundings and, like, stuff like that. And Google doesn't have a time waster list of all the clients we have that waste time. And we can, like, tell people, like, don't interact with this person. So it's just, like, a really good resource.
Yeah.
Yeah. A time waster list. We need to have that for like fans.
We need that,
we need that for
normal men. We need that for everyday men.
Yeah, that just needs to be a public list that everyone can add to and have access to.
Right.
Nobody needs their time wasted. That's awesome. Like, are there other women that Dom that you sort of share resources with?
Yeah. So aside from Sex Academy, I'm also the founder of Black Dom Sorority. So we have over 300 members in that, and it's literally like a sorority, just like a sex work sorority. It's like we have different chapters. So we have like a West Coast chapter, Northeast, South, Midwest, and then we have some people internationally. And I want to say majority of the group is here in New York. So we do a lot of meetups. I know we have like a brunch this Saturday where we're going to have subs there, like serving us food and like whipping their asses and stuff. So like I work with like a lot of doms, and I think like the resource we have there is really good, and it's more intimate than a Sex Academy. Like to me, like Sex Academy is for like the outsiders, whereas like Black Dom Sorority is like our secret society type thing. So yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How would you say like, or like what changes have you seen since like, you know, 2020 in like FinDomming?
You mean like pandemic wise, like with quarantine and all that shit?
Yeah.
Actually it's been like, it's been booming. It's been like really great. And the crazy thing is you'll get all you'll get all these jealous men for some reason. Men hate sex workers, but want to watch sex workers. I never understand it at all. You'll get like all these jealous men that are just like, oh, now y'all got to go get real jobs. The pandemic is over. I'm like, first of all, no one is really having a real job out here. Yeah. I mean, are you going to talk to all the other vanilla people too that lost their job? But like, so they'll say stuff like that. And I'm just like, little do you know, like sex is recession proof. Sex will always sell. Like porn will always sell. Sex work, like there's even like virtual strip clubs now, and like the girls are making money. So I'm like, as long as there are men that want to watch us and talk to us, like you're going to spend your money. So I feel like ever since quarantine, it's gotten even better, especially the subs, because like the subs now, they can't like serve in person as much. So now they're really like desperate to just serve in any capacity they can. So they're just like, you know,
desperate for it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think the haters are just like anytime someone can monetize their own sexuality. Like that anger just comes out of being like, oh, I can't just objectify you like
without paying for it.
Yeah, you're gonna benefit off of this. Like that's where that bullshit comes from. It goes back to power dynamics.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So I found a cool little article that I'd love to know your input on about like different types of ways of participating in FinDom. It's from Metro UK by Miranda Kane, our favorite. We don't know why we always reference Metro UK, but apparently they're pretty kinky. So
it's because it's like a trash rag that just like loves to like put kinky articles out. So we're like, oh, somebody wrote about feet. It's Metro UK. Let's go.
But they talked about all these different ways of like cash transactions. And I thought like, have you ever like been asked to be like a, like budget, like have someone's entire like savings and then you give them a budget?
Yeah. So we call that like a debt contract. in Fandom. So basically, like, it usually depends. Like, not everyone comes to you and wants to do a contract. You have some people that just want to send their money and that's it. But, like, so they'll come to me and they'll be like, hey, mistress, this is the amount of money I can spend every month or, you know, every week or something like that. And then we'll basically just make it a consensual contract between the both of us and just go from there.
Cool. Wow.
Yeah. Those are usually with, like, the college kids that don't have a lot of money.
Yeah. They're like, I have no money, like, but take it.
Oh my God. I had one sub. He was like, I can give you $10 a week. I'm like, I'm not doing that. Like, I can.
You're like, what am I?
I can go without that.
Like, I'm fine.
Poor guy. He's doing his best.
Yeah.
Like,
that's cute.
Absolutely me in college, too. I'm like, all right, I can budget $20 to eat every day. Like, can I scrape off like another 10? Yeah.
They actually just need help with their finances.
Yeah.
That's all they
need.
You're
just going to take a look at the budget and be like, okay, let's just actually reorganize this so that you can.
You're
like,
now their mom.
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much.
You were like, honey, I noticed you used your debit card a little bit too much this week. Now you're going to get spanked.
They would love that, though. They would probably spend on purpose just so they could get
it. Yeah.
Another cool thing that this article mentioned was, like, blackmail, which is, like, doing, like a fantasy or role-playing of, like, getting a hold of, like, these, like, fin subs, like, pretending you have blackmail on them.
Yeah, see, my thing is, like, I've gotten approached for blackmail sessions, and I always turn them down because when they come to me, it's always so much shit. It's always, like, paragraphs of what they want. I'm like, I'm not reading all of this.
Yeah. I have no time.
I feel like if I have to do too much for your kink, I'm not going to do it. Like, it just gets to be too much. And then it's just like, we know on our end it's not really blackmail. Like, we know you're not. For all I know, you're probably sending me a picture of a fake ID. This probably is not even really you. Like, whatever. I don't know. It's just, it's never been something I've, like, personally wanted to do.
Sure.
Yeah. Just too involved.
Yeah.
Tributes and gifts, which is like something that I feel like we mentioned before, but just like a one-time amount of money, or like of just being like, hey, can I send you this money? Is that usually like how it works?
So a tribute is what they initially send before they even get to know like who you are as a dom. So like most of us on our Twitter accounts or wherever we have our FinDom accounts, we have our like payment methods. Like, we'll post our Cash App name, PayPal name, whatever.
I see.
And that's what they'll send to basically get your attention. Now, there are like people that we call silent senders. They'll send the money and you'll never hear from them, but you still see they sent something. But for the most part, you'll have the ones that send the money and they'll inbox you like, hey, God, they'll like send a screenshot of proof that they sent you money. And they'll be like, hey, goddess, I sent you this or whatever. So tributes are usually like one time.
Yeah.
But then you have gifts. Like, a lot of us have Amazon wish lists. So like, they'll buy stuff from our Amazon. And then you have something called like wallet draining. So draining is more so like different amounts over amount of time. So like, they could send $20 one minute. The next 3 minutes, they'll send $50, and it'll just keep going up and up or whatever.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay, that's hot. I'm into that.
Yeah. How many, like, we talked about online interactions versus in person, and I think you gave like a 60-40 break between online and in person. How much would you say of your business is ongoing clients, and how much is just random tributes or like one-time silent senders?
I want to say like 30% is ongoing and 70% is one-time senders. Yeah, only because like a lot of fin subs that like send, they'll be new, so they don't understand like how it really works. And then you'll have some people like, this is an addiction for them, so they just want to feel their addiction and then maybe not come back for like another 6 months or another 3 months or whatever. So it's just like, the one thing I tell like people in FinDom and like women that want to get into FinDom, I try to tell them, don't get attached to like the thought of somebody always being there sending you money, like the same person. Because once you get attached, you'll expect like, oh, well, yeah, they sent me $100 today and I know they're going to send me more tomorrow, and then they don't send you more, and then you'll just get frustrated with them. Like, FinDom is something where it's very spontaneous. Like, you have to know, like, you can't get attached to just, like, one client.
Interesting.
Yeah. And that's in BDSM, period. Like, even my ongoing clients I've had for, like, a year or so or whatever, like, if they were to drop, it's something I would have to understand. Because, like, I mean, it's BDSM. It's something that's, like, very, very intense. Right. So, anyone has the right to drop BDSM out of their life when they're ready. So,
yeah.
You know.
That's a good point. I didn't really ever think about that. Yeah.
Yeah. It's very much like a freelancer's life where like clients come and
go. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, should we take a little break?
Yeah, I was just going to say, let's take a little break and then we can come back and talk about some videos. Cool.
This HeadGum Podcast is brought to you by Aura Frames.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers. Aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Aura Frame.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, wow.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Aura Frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Aura Frame, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there. And you know what? You can update it with an app. So every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's AuraFrames.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt.
Mm-hmm.
So do check them out. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective, unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
And we're back. Wasn't that a cute little break? I enjoyed myself. So we're back, and we're going to talk about some of Mistress Marley's work from her OnlyFans.
Yes.
And Patreon, both.
And Patreon, both. So obviously, subscribe.
Also, why don't we just like jump in right now with a plug, because we've been talking about your work for so long. Do you want to just call out your handles, Mistress Marley, so that if people are curious while they're listening, they can check you out?
Yes, of course. So I have a Twitter account. My Twitter account is Eyes Like Your Eyeballs. So EYESX on fire. So Eyes on Fire. And then my Twitter is where I do all my FinDom stuff. And then my Instagram is the Chocolate Dom, DOMME _. That's where like a lot of my visuals and stuff are. Instagram is a little iffy. Like this is like my fourth page. They keep deleting me. So I'm just like, whatever. Fuck y'all.
Yeah.
Then I have my OnlyFans, which is OnlyFans.com/Marley the Goddess. Most of the time, if there are any subs out there watching that want to hit me up, please, when you hit me up, please have money attached to it and don't come like wasting my time, because I get a lot of time wasters and you will be added to the time wasting list with no problem. But yeah, so those are mostly my plugs. On YouTube, I'm also the Chocolate Dom up there also.
Cool.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome. So yeah, so we pulled a couple different videos to talk about, and this will be different than like what our usually on our show, we just like pull scenes because we mostly focus on porn, and it's often in just a video scene format. But in this case, we have a couple things that are sort of part of your Sex Academy, and then a specific video around you fin-domming one of your clients.
Okay.
Right. So, because like we said before, fin-dom, you know, there might not be any interaction whatsoever.
Yeah.
So, which is probably why we can't find porn of it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's not really, like, it's interesting because it's not exactly like a porn search term the way that, like, anal is a porn search term, because it's not really about a sex act. It is actually about a kink, and that kink, as we said, is largely not an in-person interaction. It's a psychological thing, so it's often just weirdly represented in porn, which we'll get to later, or just sort of performed or like sort of role-played in porn, but but not quite the thing. So yeah. The videos we're talking about here are sort of a unique exploration.
Yes.
So, I don't know, should we dive into a specific one first, Rachel? Like, maybe we want to talk about navigating apps and, like, maybe, want to start there? The sort of most instructional of them?
Yeah, we pulled the one from that of, like, navigating seeking arrangement.
Mm-hmm.
Just to kind of, do you feel like that's a site that you get a lot of subs on, or is it mostly just for, like, sugar daddies?
It's just, like, more so for sugar daddies, but I have met men off of that site that eventually when you meet in person with them and you have a date and you're talking, it comes out that they're submissive, so it always just works out for me.
Yeah.
And I also have it on my profile that, like, I'm into kink and that I'm, like, dominant and stuff like that. So, like, if they message me, they usually know, like, what it's for.
Yeah.
Do you ever feel like there are sugar daddies out there who are looking for, like, a dominating figure? Or are they mostly looking?
Oh, of course. Really? I've learned working, like, as a dominatrix, the wealthiest men love to be, like, dominated. They love to lose their power because they're so used to being in charge all day, every day, that, like, they just want to take a step back and be, like, humiliated and just told what to do. So, yeah for sure.
Yeah. I actually set up an account on this site once.
you did?
I did. Like 4 or 5 years ago, I like created a fake name and a fake email address, and I set up a site on seeking arrangement, and I was like very gung-ho about it. But then I was too scared to actually meet up with anyone. my roommate at the time, like, really shamed me and was like, you need to get a real job. And I was like, okay. Rude, because
fuck
sex
you.
Work is work. Yeah.
It's so sad because, like, I hear that so much from women about how, like, they're shamed from, like, friends or roommates or, like, family. I'm just like, at the end of the day, bills are bills and they have to be paid. So I mean, I'm like, what's the difference what's the difference in you going out to dinner for somebody for free and I'm just going to get money for it? Like,
exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like,
exactly.
I was like, if I could distill down, like, the things that I'm good at, like, it would be a sugar baby.
Yeah. Rachel would be brilliant. Yes.
Like, I'm here to entertain. I can talk to anybody. Love to go out to eat. Introduce me to your friends. Yeah. I'll be a blast, you know? Like, come on.
Yeah.
You want to buy me lingerie? I'll put it on. Let's do it.
It wouldn't be the first time on the show just talking about, like, the barrier between Rachel and I and just being sex workers is fear. Because when you were talking about auditioning as a stripper, I was like, yep, I've circled that block and not done, like, I think a couple episodes we talked about me, like, thinking about auditioning for Coyote Ugly and then just truly being like, but what if I get rejected from that too? And just being like terrified and just not doing it. But there was never any like actual moralistic like superiority I had about it. I just was like, what if I'm bad at stripping? I don't know if I can handle that and not having acting jobs right now. Like, it's just too
I think
much.
The reason we really started, one of the reasons we started this podcast is because we like both deep down, both of us really like idolize sex workers and are in awe of them, you know?
Yeah, quite frankly. Those who can't do podcast, we'll say.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah, just going back to the video, I love these, like, bite-size videos that you have. Like, they're so to the point and helpful and easy to digest and just clear about, like, this is how you navigate in, like, a space like this. And, like, it teaches both the app but also just how to take that space and how to sort of... you know, put yourself out there and then monetize from there, you know?
Right.
It's great. And it's a great example of how many different kinds of videos like that you had. And you sort of touched on it earlier, but it's awesome to think about too, like creating a platform like this to create safety for other sex workers, like to say,
right, exactly.
Here's how to set up a meet. Here's how to avoid a dangerous situation. Like when you were talking about like assessing the space, like you sounded like a Marine for a second where it was like she knows where the exits are. Like,
but it's incredibly resourceful. You know?
Yeah, you have to teach every little thing because like in sex work it's so broad. Like it's so many things. Like I could teach one thing and while in the middle of me teaching it, I'm like, oh, well, they're not going to know what this term means. So now I have to like describe this term and like when it might come up and what it might look like. Or like I have to tell them like these are the different types of scams that might come up. Like,
right.
Because people are out there scamming on this good old internet.
I know.
Out here.
Yeah.
And it's so sad.
I'm sure.
It is.
I'm sure. And there's no other, like, governing body. You know, like, sex workers are marginalized legally. So there have to be resources like this.
We can't get scammed. Yeah, we can't get scammed and go into a police officer and say, "Hey, I'm a sex worker and I got scammed." Right, yeah. Like, just us saying sex worker off rip, they don't care anymore. Like,
Exactly. I feel like so many people don't realize that.
But that's why it's so big. Like, that's why it's so huge to me to have this community, because at least we can go to each other and get this advice before we make mistakes and stuff. Yeah. So,
yeah, it's incredible. We've talked about it a bunch. Like, you mentioned your Instagram being shut down. Our Instagram has been shut down 4 times, and we're not even sex workers. We're just posting, like, memes.
Yeah.
So annoying.
And we've been shut down, like, 3 or 4 times. It's infuriating. SESTA-FOSTA is a bullshit, dangerous law.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
And now they're trying to sort of repurpose it into the Earn It Act. So anybody who's listening, vote no on the Earn It bullshit, like, if you have the opportunity.
I mean, I think Instagram is getting better, though. Like, ever since I changed my sex to male, I haven't really been having any problems.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah. So I've noticed that, like, ever since I changed it to male, I didn't get deleted.
Now
they give me an option. So, like, I had someone yesterday at the protest that was trying to follow me yesterday on Instagram. And so when I went to, like, get them to follow me, it now pops up on my page. I have this option where you have to pick that you're 18 or over to see my page.
And I think
that has helped me, too.
Good to know.
Ever since I changed my gender to male, I have had, like, no problems. I think I only had one problem where, like, I think a guy's, like, butt was showing and they, like, took it down, but I was like, okay, that was on me, I knew better. But but because I'm like, it's like, you know, we're in a pandemic, everyone's posting anything they want, so I thought I could just get, like, by
Beyonce said start an OnlyFans, you know.
They're like nope, take this down or whatever. So ever since I made that change, I noticed I've been okay.
That is so blatantly sexist. It's so openly problematic.
Yeah.
Like, you just call yourself a man and, like, don't have an issue anymore. Like, that is absolutely insane to me.
Yeah.
But so, like, in line with everything we've experienced.
Right. And I got that advice from a friend that works at Instagram.
Jesus.
Wow.
So she told me to do that. Because, like, when I first got deleted, I could, like, reach out to her directly and she would, like, get my page back.
Yeah.
But then eventually she said, like, she could only do it, but so many times. So.
Yeah, okay. same thing. We, like, had people writing in via the absolute, like, brick wall that is, like, file a complaint.
It's the worst.
Hundreds and thousands of fans.
It's, like, fake. No one's there. It's fake.
No one's reading it.
No one's responding. And the only thing that's actually worked is having someone on the inside send an email. Like, you have to know someone at fucking Facebook or Instagram. It's so gross. Yeah.
It's so annoying.
Anyways, should we move on?
Let's talk about
the verbal humiliation bed.
Yeah. Oh, gosh, yes.
So is this, like, if you would be doing, like, a cam session or in person or all
of it? It can go both ways.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And do you sometimes create custom videos that are specifically... Like, is it always interactive, or do you sometimes also make videos to send people of you?
Yeah, so, like,
them?
I'll make videos, like, to send people, and, like, they'll want their name to be said in it and shit like that.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
So, like, I'll say their name in it and stuff. So, like, but the customs, I charge way more for the customs, because it's, like, not only do I have to do this video, I have to do it special how you want it, so.
Yeah.
How often do you feel like you're talking about penis size and verbal humiliation?
Oh, my gosh. Men love to get their penises talked about.
is that just the most common thing? Yeah.
I'm just like, okay, y'all just woke up today and was like, let me get her to talk about my penis size. And it's always, like, the ones that have small penises.
Yeah.
So we call that SPH, so small penis humiliation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I get a lot of requests for that. And it's so easy to humiliate someone's penis. I'm like, I feel like I talk like that with my girlfriends anyway about guys. So, like, I can do it on camera.
Yeah.
But what I also loved was that it's, like, still kind of flirty. Like, it wasn't, like, it wasn't too mean.
Yeah.
You know?
So, like, that's just, like, my natural dom style. So I consider myself a sensual sadist.
So I can be very mean.
I can, like, whoop your ass, beat you up, but I can be very sensual with it. And sometimes I'm nurturing too. So
yeah.
Hmm.
And, like, you know, little taunting too, like saying you'll never be able to touch me.
Yeah,
that's a big thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's got to be a big thing for.
And what a great thing to say! Again, just a brilliant business model, frankly.
Yeah.
Just built right into the fucking recipe.
They'll like, never be able to touch me.
Yeah.
It's so good. And then the video from OnlyFans which was with a fin sub, right?
Yeah. So he's one of my long terms. So
okay.
Yeah. So I tend to like do my video recordings with my long terms.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Only because like they're like more open to it and they're like more trusting of me and stuff like that. And I always make sure. I mean, even if it is just a one-time sub, I still always make sure their face is, like, not showing in some way.
Oh, for sure.
Whether it's a mask, whether it's being turned away from the camera or whatever. Uh-huh. And I always let them see the video after I recorded it. Because, you know, some people just really get nervous. Like, they know I'm going to post it online. So they're just like, I really need to make sure, like, it is what it is. But, yeah, so he's a long-term client. He's, like, amazing. He sends, like, money every week. Even when I do, like, when I teach courses and need volunteer subs, or if I'm going to a party and just need someone to walk on a leash, like he's there. But he's really, really good. He even like writes me songs on his guitar and stuff like that. It's so cute.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It's so cute. And you know, like I look out for his mental health too, because he's someone that's been through a lot of stuff. So I don't think people understand, like sex workers are therapists sometimes.
100% Yeah. We've definitely talked about that before, and I have such admiration for it. Like it really is an incredible avenue for, I guess, I don't want to call it catharsis because that's sort of reductive, but to process like trauma.
Trauma.
Like,
it is really, trauma healing, yeah.
Yeah, it's a meaningful outlet for so many people that could take an entirely different turn. Like people who experience profound levels of trauma could enact violence. Like there are different avenues that kind of trauma produces. So I truly believe in the meaningful work that sex workers do and that you do.
Yeah, that's what like I tell even the DOMs that I train and stuff. I'm like, initially we're in this to be in control and humiliate people, whatever. But like, please remember that these people are people.
Yeah.
And that like, you know, you have to check in on them. Like, I know in my sessions, I do a lot of aftercare. So, like, after the session, like, I'll be like, do you need water? Like, sometimes I'll even ask, do you need a hug? Like, you know, and stuff like that. Because I wouldn't want to come in a session where I just got beat up and then you just sent me home. And now I have to process outside by myself, like, on the subway going home what just happened to me. Like, it just comes off. Like, and it can be dangerous, too. Like, it can be really dangerous to have people in mental states like that. So like with him, like I check in on his mental health all the time. Like there's even times like if I'm having a bad day, he'll talk to me and stuff. And like, you know, but that's not saying I can create that relationship with everybody, because some people is just like, it is what it is. Like, you know,
it's a transaction.
And we try not to get too personal either. Like he doesn't know like my real name. He doesn't know you know, what I do, like, in my free time when I'm not hanging out with him. He doesn't know my friends, like, none of that stuff. We just keep it very base level.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Those are, like, you have to uphold certain boundaries, and I'm sure you have to navigate, like, which sort of boundaries you can gently lower with specific clients after building a certain amount of trust and understanding and clarity. Like, that has to be a really delicate dance, I'm sure.
Exactly.
Also, you're so nurturing in this video, too. I feel like you check in a lot, which is nice.
Yeah. Because, like I said, you have to check in, because it's like, you have to check body language, too. Like, there was one point during our session where, like, that same session where I saw him, like, kind of scrunching his body up or, like, whatever. I'm like, okay, this is probably where I got to calm down a little bit or whatever.
Yeah, right.
So, yeah. It's just knowing how to take those verbal and nonverbal cues.
It's all very important.
Yeah.
This is a great video. I loved it.
Yeah. Should we wrap up by talking about this other video that we sent you that is like literally just like nonsense we found in the aggregates as usual?
Yeah. Because we were like, how can we find something without like, you know, ripping apart another fin dom?
Yeah.
You know, we wanted to find something that we were like, this is absurd.
Yeah.
Yeah. We deliberately found something that didn't feel authentic. Like, this appears to be, so it's called Allison Financial Domination and Worship. And we just open on Allison sitting on a couch and then her apparent slave appears. And like, I just immediately had questions where I was like, okay, so is he an in-home slave? He has a leash and collar on, but it's just sort of like draped about.
Where are they?
Where are they? And like, what's playing?
How did the collar get put on? Like,
what's playing on the TV? She seems really interested in it because she won't put that remote down. So
yeah. It's funny. Like, so I noticed in the video, the funniest part to me was like him saying like, I gotta pay rent.
I know.
And him just not wanting to give the money, which I know in like FinDom, you have some subs that will play or like act like they really will go broke.
Yeah.
Or whatever, but.
That's part of the thrill, I'm sure.
Yeah, and then another thing I just kind of noticed was like when he was licking her shoes, he looked like really disgusted. I don't know. He just looked like.
Yeah. I think, Lord knows like what circumstances led to this production. I was worried for both performers. I was like, is this dude okay? Like, did he need to do this video to make some cash? Because I didn't buy that he was a sub.
Right.
And then I also was like, is she 16? Like, what?
Yeah,
how old like, is she?
Yeah, she looked really young.
Yeah, it opened with a disclaimer that performers were above 18, but I was like, I don't know.
Don't
she looks very young.
Yeah.
Also, her shoes looked new. I got to call that out.
Like, yeah, they really did. They
it was large.
There was no authentic dirt. There was no authentic dirt on those shoes.
Exactly. Like, it was all about foot worship and shoe worship, and he's licking her shoes. But I was like, those are Converse. Like, Chucks get dirty so fucking fast.
Exactly.
Yeah. And they were, like, bright canary yellow. I was like, she bought those and like, wore them around the house. Like,
yeah, and then he's so concerned on paying his rent, but then he's just carrying around $100 bills on it.
I know.
Yeah.
It's like, honey, if you can't pay your rent and you're worried about spending $100, like, we got more problems.
Yeah.
Like... It just was so obviously fake to me.
Yeah. Just very obviously staged.
Yeah. One thing I did see was like when like every time he wanted to do something else, like so every time she would take a shoe off or whatever, he would have to give her like another $100. Which that happens a lot in FinDom, where like you have to keep giving and giving before you even like, you know, get anything from us if you do.
Right.
But yeah, other than that, it was kind of awkward.
It was so awkward.
Yeah, it just felt like a bad like replica of what fandoming is. And and it's weird because you're like, who is this for? Like, is this just for somebody to watch and be like, oh, that's how I could do it if I wanted to sub to a dom? But like, I don't
just
know.
For reference? Like,
I think it's easier for the, I think it would be easier for the sub to look at that and be like, oh, I can just do this. But like, if a potential or aspiring FinDom was looking at it, I could see how that would just make them even more nervous. Because it's just like, you know, she wasn't giving much to make it feel like it was dominant. Like,
she just laid
like
there.
Like you said, and it was like super scripted. And like, what I try to tell people in FinDom is like, you can be yourself. Like, you can literally be yourself.
Right. There was really nothing dominating about it, which, like, you know, I'm sure sometimes, like, you know, there is, like, maybe some sweet FinDoms out there. I don't know. But, it just didn't seem...
Well, she just felt bratty, you know?
Yeah.
I'm like, of course, that's, like, someone... Might be someone's, like, dom style, but I didn't buy it because, like... She's just disturbed watching TV. Like, it just, the whole scenario.
There was just more I feel like she could have did, especially with the collar and leash being there. Like, you could have been banging on it. You could have been slapping him a little bit, doing something, you know.
Yeah, like, why is he wearing it if we're not going to touch it? Come on. And then she's just like, all right, well, I think I need to go shopping, and he doesn't even get to come with her. Like, I would think that, like, he would get to go, and then she would buy more stuff.
Or not even that. She could have, like, walked him on a leash while shopping. Like,
exactly. You know? Like, take him shopping, have him pay for stuff, walk him around. Like,
exactly.
The lack of creativity.
Yeah.
It's true.
But no, it was funny. It was awkwardly funny.
Yeah. It was awkward at best. I unfortunately didn't find anything hot about that video.
Nothing.
Like, there was nothing that I could find that I was there for, you know?
Yeah. Still dying to know what was on the TV in the background. I really don't know.
Oh my gosh. Probably nothing.
Yeah. You'll never know. Well, I think that's pretty much our show. Like, normally we wrap up by saying, like which of these is going to end up in your spank bank. I don't know if that quite applies here. Like, it doesn't
You never know. You never know.
You never know. Truly, like, it could be my kink to watch bad replicas of an act that is specifically like not designed to be captured in the way that it was, but it doesn't happen to be. Like, I'm absolutely here for FinDomming, but not for that video that we shared. But yours are incredible, and thank you for sharing them with us and the world, and for taking time out of your day to talk to us about it. This has been
thank you guys so much for having me. Like, so I've done like a lot of podcasts, and I think this is the first like concept I've come across that is like interesting, of like watching porn or like talking about ethical porn and just doing things like that. Cause like usually the podcasts I go on are very vanilla. So it's just like,
at this point, you're like, hi.
It's like, I know at this point you guys are just using, like the vanilla people are just using me for their talking point. And like, like, I stopped doing the vanilla podcast now.
Stuff like this. Well, we love to know that we're not vanilla. That's wonderful.
Honestly, honored to be edgier than run of the mill bullshit. Yeah, and thank you. That actually is a really high compliment. We really love like talking about this and advocating for sex workers and for better porn because it the industry just like has so many problem areas and we just want to root them out as best we can. So
Yeah, it does.
Yeah. And just a reminder, if anyone listening is interested in FinDom, please check out Mistress Marley's stuff. Her handles are thechocolatedom_ on Instagram and onlyfans.com/goddess. What was it again? Sorry.
Marley.
Why don't we just let her do it again?
Marley the goddess.
Yes. onlyfans.com/MarleyTheGoddess.
Yes.
And then do you want to drop your Twitter also?
Yeah, so my Twitter is eyesxonfire.
Cool. Eyesxonfire.
Yes.
Awesome. Thank you so much again for joining us.
Yeah, it was so nice to have you. We really loved talking to you.
Yes, thank you so much for having me.
Thanks so much for listening to Girls on Porn. You can find us on Twitter at GOP the podcast, on Instagram at Girls on Porn, that's porn without the O because fuck Instagram, or on our website at girlsonporn.com.
Don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe to the show if you haven't already. And if you leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, include your Insta handle and we'll post it and tag you, expressing our abundant gratitude.
And finally, we are looking for an intern. If you're interested in working with us, you can find our email on our website. Just write us a little bit about yourself, any relevant experience, and why you'd be into it.
This has been Girls on Porn, the only GOP that's actually good.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.